Amen. And we look forward to that next time. Amen. There are days like today and some days where we say, come soon. And there are days where we kind of get tired of the trials of life. And there are days like yesterday and the weather yesterday where we say, maybe you can wait a little bit longer. So we're going to start tonight a series in the Psalms. And for the next 17 times that I'm here with you, we'll be going through 17 different, what I consider short psalms. And these are psalms that are six verses or less, and they're really short, to the point, and really have a lot to unpack in the midst of it. And as we enter the gateway of the psalms, we come to the first psalm, which is really the gateway to all of the psalms. The first psalm introduces us to a choice. And I don't know if all of y'all, when you were kids, got to choose your own adventure. But I remember when I was growing up, I got to read some books. And they were choose your own adventure books. And the point of the book was exactly as the title would suggest. As you read along in the book, you got to choose your own adventure. And so you'd read a couple pages, and at the bottom of the page, it would say, if you want to continue on and you want to like speak to so-and-so, or you want to do this activity, turn to page 67. If you want to get out of this room and go and talk to somebody else, turn to page 33. And so you'd turn and you'd figure out, you'd kind of go on your own little adventure. And sometimes you make a decision and you're like, okay, this story's not going anywhere. I don't like the direction things are going. So you try to find your way back to the initial question. You're like, oh, I don't want to go to page 67. I want to go back to 32 now and figure out some different pathway. But it's become quite popular, actually. The largest video games, for the most part nowadays, are you kind of choose your own adventure. You create your own worlds. You can do things for yourself. Movies, there's been different themes of choosing different paths. The Matrix has a massive scene in it where Neo is faced with a decision. You can choose the red pill or you can choose the blue pill. One of them will lead him further down the rabbit hole, and the other one will cause him to forget anything that has ever happened. And we like to make our own choices. We like choices to be placed before us in different avenues. And Psalm 1 places a choice before us. And it places the rest of the psalms before us. And the choice determines how we're going to read all of the other psalms. And the choice is, do we want to be happy? Do we want to be the blessed man? Or do we want to be the wicked man? And on first blush, it seems quite easy that all of us are going to make the choice to be blessed. For those who kind of are familiar with Psalm 1, you understand that it begins, blessed, or in mind, how happy is the man, and it'll go on to describe some things. Now, the wording there is a plural. So it's, oh, the blessednesses, the many, many blessednesses of the man who does these things. So he's saying there are many blessings. All of the blessings of life are inherited by this man. There is the man who receives all of the blessednesses in life, and there is the man who is the wicked man. And Psalm 1 places a choice before us, and it says, choose your own adventure. Your adventure in life will be determined by how you choose to respond to these questions and choose to respond to the statements that the psalm writer writes for us today. And he's calling us to make wise decisions and to consider our path and consider the direction of our lives. Consider the narrow gate or the wide gate. Consider the way of the Lord or consider the way of Adam. Consider being of the kingdom of God or being of the kingdom of the world. You and I, every single moment of every single day, are faced with the decision to choose our own adventure. And there's some things that this psalm is going to call us to consider as we choose that adventure. As we make those moment by moment, day by day choices, it's going to call us to consider really the ramifications of those decisions that we make. So let's read Psalm 1 together and then see what it has to say for us. So Psalm chapter 1, if you do not have it with you, it is up on the screen. How happy or blessed is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. If you have different translations, it's the walk, stand, sit pattern. So walk with the wicked, stand with the sinners, sit with the scoffers. Instead, but his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. Let's pray. God, again, we come to the one who was and is to come. God, we come to you because we are frail human beings, and sin has destroyed really every aspect of life. Our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health has been destroyed because of it. Our ability to get along in relationships, our ability to live this life has been marred by the fall. And your word comes to us in the midst of that, and it offers a better way. That we can continue on in the pattern of the world and walking with the sinners and standing with those who are wicked and joining, sitting with the scoffers, or we can delight in your word. And I pray that you would help us to delight in your word. Help us to love it, to consider it, to think on it day and night. And help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose the path that you would have us to go. Help us to choose to follow you all of the days of our life. God, help us tonight to choose to listen intently to what your word would say to us, as we consider the path we may take and the path we have taken. God, may we repent of the times we've fallen in the past and surrender and commit to living for you all the days of our life. It's your name we pray. Amen. So we're to consider some things. There's a choice laid before you. And for all of us, whenever we want to make a choice, we want to consider the different variables, consider the different options and opportunities before us if we're going to make any decision whatsoever. And so the psalmist lays open this decision for us. He says you can choose to be with the blessed man, or can choose the way of the wicked. These are the choices for you. But there's some considerations, things you can consider as you make this choice. So just to go along with us, let's consider first our influences. Consider first your influences. Verses 1 and 2 says, how happy is the man who does not, and then he talks about different influences, different people who the wicked man responds to. The advice of the wicked, the path of the sinners, and a group of mockers. And so he surrounds himself by these individuals, with these different groups of people. Those are who he associates with. Those who are who he allows to influence himself. Now the truth is, everyone is influenced by something, right? And a lot of times, as a youth pastor, teenagers would be like, hey, you know, these people they're having this party. There's some lost people that are friends of mine. You know, what should we do? Should we go to the party or not? And the question always is, are you influencing them, or are they influencing you? If you can go, and not be influenced negatively, but you can influence positively the situation. If you're mature enough and strong enough to handle the situation, by all means, talk to your parents. I'm not dumb. I ain't answering that question for them. So after your parents decide, and then you can figure it out from there. But if you're going to be influenced, and you know they're going to have an influence over your life, the question's cut and dry. It's in no way. And so what's going on here is there's a wicked man, and his influence is other wicked people. People he listens to are scoffers and sinners and the wicked, and he's surrounding himself with them. He walks with them. He sits with them. He stands with them. He's there with them. And you can take this different ways. It's either a progression to more and more sin, which Spurgeon and some others have said that this is the wicked man continues to progress in wickedness. First, he's walking with the wicked. Then he's standing around and kind of mingling with them. And then he's sitting. And sitting in Old Testament times denotes teaching. So he's progressed from them having a little bit of influence over him to now him being the one who is influencing them for wickedness, for scoffing at the ways of the Lord. And so our first consideration as we think through our lives and the path that we're going to take is who we're allowing to have influence over our lives. Are we allowing scoffers and wicked individuals and sinners to have influence over our thoughts and our walk and the way that we consider different things? Or, like the blessed man, are we, this is the but, instead, are we delighting in the Lord's instruction? If what shapes a man's thinking shapes his life, you have the first way of thinking is the thinking of the sinners and the scoffers, the wicked. And the second way of thinking is delighting in the word of the Lord. Now, Spurgeon had this to say, and I thought it was quite appropriate. He says, perhaps some of you can claim a sort of negative purity because you do not walk in the way of the ungodly. But let me ask you, is your delight in the law of God? I think his question is very appropriate for us. Because we like to look at those first couple verses and you're like, hey, I'm not influenced by sinners. I'm not walking in the path of the wicked or standing with sinners or sitting with scoffers. That's not the pattern of my life. So I'm the blessed guy, right? Well, the promise isn't for the person who just doesn't do this. The promise is for the person who doesn't do this and does delight in the law of the Lord. So it's not just about negative purity. It's not just about not doing the things that the psalm writer here is calling us to not do. It's also about pursuing what we need to be pursuing. Because if we're not being influenced by sinners, mockers, scoffers, we're still being influenced by something. There's a but there. There's an instead. So there's one way of being influenced, and the other way, the positive influence, is in the law of the Lord. So he's saying to us, you can be influenced by sinners, scoffers, wicked people, of which you is one. You are in the community, sinners, scoffers, wicked. If you're not delighting in the law of the Lord, you're delighting in the law of you. Right? There's not a C. There's A and B. So it's not, well, I'm not influenced by them, and I'm not delighting in the law of the Lord, so I'm this other option. No, you are standing, sitting, and walking in the council of sinners, because you're standing, sitting, and walking in your own counsel. If you're not following the influence and delighting yourself in the law of the Lord, you're delighting yourself in your own way of thinking and what seems most appropriate to you. So you can say to yourself all you like, well, I'm not doing those things. I'm not listening to the really perverse people. I'm not allowing them to influence me. But if you're not positively influencing yourself with the law of God, if you're not meditating on it, reading it regularly, memorizing it, letting it seep into who you are and change who you are, you've chosen a path. And so as we consider the path that we have chosen in the past and will choose moving ahead, the first thing we must consider is who or what are we allowing to have influence over us? Whose pattern of thinking are we listening to? And whose, individually, pattern of thinking are you listening to? Is it the way of the world? Is it the culture and the way things are going with the world and those around you? Or are you seeking to know what God's word has to say to you? Are you pursuing and delighting in God's word? We just came out of 1 John, and one of 1 John's passages is that we do not love sin, but we delight in the law of the Lord, and his commands are not a burden for us. That's delighting. It's commands, not a burden. They don't seem burdensome to us when they're a delight to us. And so we're to choose a path. We can choose wickedness or blessednesses. We can choose the way of the wicked, or we can choose the way of the blessed man. And the first thing to consider in making that choice is, what are we going to allow to influence us? Because it's either A or B. And there's a second point of consideration. Based on who you allow to influence you, fruit will be evident from that. So first, consider your influence. Second, consider your fruit. The fruit of those influences. So we have the blessed man, and he's delighting in the law of the Lord. And the result of that, the fruit of that, in verse 3, he is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prosper. This is flourishing. This is a flourishing John 10:10, I have come that you may have life, and life more abundant, is what the psalm writer is getting to here. Now, this isn't the prosperity that is thrown across today. This is what true Christianity is. Prosperity that prospers here is not you'll drive a Benz, you'll have good health, your family will all love Jesus and do everything you've ever wanted them to do. This is not that kind of prosperity or that kind of flourishing. This is yielding your fruit in season. This is, and the words of missionaries to China, this is flourishing. And I just want to read this. It says, years ago, a couple who had gone to China as missionaries used this image of a tree flourishing, leaves not withering, to describe their life there after the communists had taken over China at the end of the Second World War. Their name was Matthews, and they were the last missionaries of the China Inland Mission to escape from that country. They're under communism for 2 years, during which time they lived with their young daughter Lila in one small room. Their only furniture was a stool. They could not contact their Christian friends for fear of getting them into trouble. Except for the smallest trickle, their funds were cut off by the government. Heat came from a small stove, which they lit once a day to boil rice for dinner. The only fuel they had was dried animal refuse that the father collected from the street. These were indeed dry times, but afterward, when they wrote their testimony to God's grace in the midst of such privations, they called their book Green Leaf in Drought Time. The leaf does not wither. Because they found that those who delight in the word of God do not wither, but instead produce the Holy Spirit's fruit. This is the kind of prospering Scripture produces in us. This is the kind of prospering that we should be looking forward to. This is not materialistic American prosperity. This is flourishing with the fruits of the Spirit. This is flourishing in light of Scripture. This is in all seasons. Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything, a season for everything under the sun. And in different seasons, our lives need to produce different fruit. And the one who is delighting himself in the law of God is producing the fruit that is beneficial for the season. So in times of persecution, delighting in the law of God should produce love in us. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. In times of the rejoicing of others, it produces joy in us. Weep with those who weep, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. In times of loss, it produces peace. In times of being in the desert and wondering what's coming next and not knowing the future, it produces patience in us. When there are people who are unkind to us and they smack us on the cheek, it produces kindness in us as we turn the other cheek towards them. In time when we see those who are needy around us, it produces goodness to us, in us. As we see suffering around us, even suffering in our own lives, it produces faithfulness in us. Faithfulness to endure the trials. Consider the trials of this life pure joy. In times, it produces gentleness in us as we are around those who are weak and frail and needing a compassionate, gentle hand or a gentle word. And in moments of temptation, it produces in us self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of the blessed man. These are the fruits that continue to be produced in season and season and season and season and season in all different seasons of life, in all different circumstances. The blessed man is producing the fruit appropriate with the season. Not so the wicked, however. The wicked, it says, are not like this. Instead of producing fruit, instead of producing the fruit that is necessary for the season, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. As opposed to the one who provides what is necessary for the moment, provides what is beneficial for the moment, provides the fruit that is best for the moment it is in, for the season it is in, chaff is pointless and weightless. It offers nothing. Chaff is pointless and weightless. I think we've been in different situations, right? When we've been around someone and we needed the fruit. We needed someone who was blessed, who was the righteous man, someone who was delighting in the law of God, someone who could produce the necessary fruit in the season, and they come across and they say something, and what they say is weightless. It is pointless. It's producing no fruit. And we see that in people's lives around us. There's this outward evidence of something, but as we consider really the lives that they're living, Scripture says their life is weightless and meaningless. It is the chaff that dries up and is blown away. And so there are two options for us. As we consider the choice that we can make, we consider first our influences. Who are we going to allow to instruct our lives? And the second consideration is, are we going to be, based on our decision, the kind of people who produce fruit in its proper season, who are like a tree planted beside streams, multiple streams of living water, producing our fruit in season? Or are we going to lead a meaningless, pointless, weightless life? I mean, I don't know about you all, but I want to lead a life that leaves a mark on eternity. I want to live a life that produces fruit that will stand the test of time. I do not want to live a life that, once tossed into the air, it is blown with the rest of the weightless, pointless things. But if we're going to make a mark, if we're going to lead a life that produces fruit, we must decide to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. This is a cause and effect relationship. You choose A, delighting yourself in the law of the Lord, the result first is fruit, bearing this fruit. And then there is a conclusion. So it says, consider your influences, consider the fruit that those influences bring out in our lives, and then consider the conclusions. Consider the final state, verses 5 and 6. Therefore, because the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away, the conclusion for them is they will not survive the judgment. And sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. They will not survive the judgment. I think we can't gloss over hell. There's a song that's been kind of making its rounds on Facebook. It's kind of a mocking song to some of the trite little sayings on church billboards. I don't know if you've ever seen those trite church billboard saying, but one that is quite common, unfortunately, in the life of the church is eternity, smoking or not. And it's tragic for us to make light of hell. It's tragic for us to make light of Christless eternity. It's tragic for us to make light of the fact that there are people that you and I live next to, that we love dearly, who, if judgment was to come today, would spend eternity apart from Jesus. That is not something to tritely say in a humorous fashion on a billboard. This is something that should cause us to weep, that the wicked will not survive the judgment. Judgment is coming. It is pending. It is imminent. There's an imminent judgment coming for all people. Some people will survive the judgment. Some people will not. The wicked will not. The righteous will. Let's not just gloss over these things. Let's really think through. We've talked the last 2 weeks that your beliefs impact your behavior and vice versa. Your behavior demonstrates your beliefs. So do you really believe that a judgment is imminent? If you've never told anyone about it, if you're not weeping over the lost around you and the lost who've never heard the gospel, if that isn't causing you to strive to share the truth with those around you, I question whether or not we, and I include myself in this, really believe in hell. And really believe that judgment is imminent. It is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. And it is survival of the righteous. The wicked will not survive the judgment. And he's saying that to us to consider the conclusion of our lives. Those who walk, sit, stand, those who follow after are influenced by the people of the world, those whose life is weightless and pointless and meaningless, those who are not delighting themselves in the law of the Lord, those who do not know Him and make their lives count for Him, those who are not producing fruit in season, those who have chosen the way of the wicked, the conclusion for them is a Christless eternity. But the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That should be comforting to us. But I'm not righteous. And the Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so if you're in the Old Testament and you're reading this, it has the tinge to it. It's got this shadow to it of works righteousness, right? Okay, if I do these things, if I delight myself in the law of the Lord and I'm producing the proper fruit, that means God's watching after me because I'm not the other category. I'm not in the category that's not going to survive the judgment. That means I'm doing the right things to make myself righteous. But he says righteous here. He doesn't say the blessed man or the one who's delighting in the law of the Lord. And I think he's using that word to get us all to draw the conclusion that we're not that guy. We're choosing a path but it's ultimately seems to lead ourselves to a dead end. Because even if I try to choose from an Old Testament perspective, we'll get to who Psalm 1 is really about, even if I try to choose the way of the righteous, even if I just try to choose to be the blessed man, if I just really work hard at trying to delight myself in the law of the Lord, the end game is I'm still not righteous. If God's watching over the way of the righteous, my only conclusion outside of Christ is I'm not the righteous. And so that puts me in category A. It puts me with the wicked, and it puts me with I'm not surviving the judgment. And so what it leads us all to is, who is the righteous man in Psalm 1? Who's chosen the right path? There's a story by Harry Ironside of a time where he went to the Middle East for a mission trip, and he was able to speak to a community of Arabs and Jews, and so he speaks to them from Psalm 1. And at the conclusion of the sermon lecture, he asks them, "Men, who is the righteous man in Psalm 1? So people begin to throw out different names, and they say, "Is it Abraham?" And someone else from the crowd goes, "No, Abraham, he went off on his wife and he had a child with someone else. He mutilated individuals. He was by no means perfect. He's not the righteous man. He did not obey God's total word." So somebody else chimes up and he says, Well, how about Moses? Another man from the crowd goes, "Well, it can't be Moses. Moses killed a man in anger." Someone else goes, "Well, how about David?" "Well, it can't be David because David, he murdered someone, had an affair with someone else. He slept with another man's wife and killed that person. I mean, it can't be David." And a man from the back, he stands up, an elderly gentleman, and he says, I've got in my hands a book. And he says, "If I were to believe what is written in this book, I could only say that the righteous man in Psalm 1 is Jesus." And what Psalm 1 leads us all to is, if we're going to choose the path of blessedness, if we want to choose to be the righteous man, the only way that any of us can be the righteous one that the Lord looks after is in Christ. We can never work for it on our own. We can never delight ourselves enough in the law of the Lord. We can never produce in our own effort enough good fruit. We are never going to be righteous. But God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, ungodly, unrighteous, Christ died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Now we inherit his righteousness. So if we want to choose one of the other paths, there's a choice that we can now take. We can choose the path of the wicked and choose to continue to walk and sit and stand and be influenced by the world and have the world's authority over us, to be the meaningless, chaff, weightless life. Or we can choose to be in the path of the blessed man, and choose to have the righteousness that comes through Christ, that he imparts to us and gives to us. And so the question before us is, what path, one, have you taken in the past? What has your life looked like to this point? Are you trying to do it on your own? Are you pursuing meaninglessness and weightlessness? Or are you seeking to delight yourself in the law of the Lord? And even then, are you choosing to do it on your own, or have you surrendered and given yourself and captured the righteousness of Christ? Have you given up your own righteousness for the alien righteousness that comes from Jesus? Given him your sins and cast your sins upon him and receive the Spirit and the righteousness that comes from him. And so one, what have you done in the past? And two, what are you going to do from now on? Because Psalm 1 gives us the choice. We can choose to continue in the old way, or as we're reading the rest of the Psalms, the rest of the law of the Lord that we're to meditate on and think through, We can read it in the, I'm going to delight myself in it. I'm going to hear what it has to say to me. I'm going to live based on it because I've surrendered to it. I've given myself to it, and I've taken on the righteousness of Christ. There is a supremely famous poem called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. And I just want to read it as we conclude tonight. Two roads diverged in the yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And here is the famous part. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. That has made all the difference. There is a narrow road that is less traveled by. I beg you to take it. It would make all the difference. Let's pray. And we thank you for the righteousness that is given to us in Christ. God, I pray that as we, even in this moment, consider the path that we will choose, you've offered two options to us, the path of the wicked and the path of the righteous, the blessed man and the wicked man, the one whose life is weightless and meaningless and has no point, and the one whose life produces fruit in its season. Its leaf never withers. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, the one who is watched over by God. God, I pray that as we consider our past and our future, I pray that we will choose to be the blessed man. And the only way that we can do that is by choosing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, that we could give our sins to you. God, you've demonstrated your love. And that while we were yet sinners, you died for us to offer us a way to righteousness. I pray that we would take that every single day of our lives. We would live in light of your righteousness and not seek it on our own. Help us to respond to how you're leading us today and every day. It's your word, your name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and we're all